Assalamu alaikum and good afternoon. I was told I will not be able to launch any Maybank product without doing some actual work. So this is the actual work, and it's a lovely piece of work that I'm doing. We have very distinguished people up here, and this would be the right audience and for the right people, just to have a short, what we call a fireside chat without a fire, although it's as hot as there's a fire in here. Just some quick conversation with Datuk Megat, who everybody knows, and Cik Muazzam, and Vinay Shandal, who's the managing director and senior partner of the Boston Consulting Group. So we're just going to talk quickly a little bit about the key components of a credible transaction plan and pathway, especially for the hard-to-abate sectors, a little bit about the concept of transaction finance and how this may differ from conventional or even sustainable financing, and also about the energy landscape in ASEAN countries and the extent of coal dependencies and the environmental impact. Dr. Megat, you're in the hot seat now, right? So, but let me start with BCG first. Yeah, Vinay? Briefly, how do businesses, especially those operating in hard-to-abate sectors, embark on their transition journeys in an authentic and sustainable manner, balancing short-term costs with long-term benefits? Your experience with BCG in dealing with a wide variety of clients.
Thank you. And thank you for having me, and congratulations on your announcement. It's a big moment for the region. So look, on your question about what does transition mean for a hard-to-abate business, there's a couple of aspects to that. I think there's a narrow definition of transition and a more holistic definition of transition. And my worry is that if you think about how we've gotten to this point, your minister talked about climate deniers. Well, what happened was many of those climate deniers polluted and profited. And there's been this massive economic revolution on the back of a lot of externalities. And the hardest effects of those externalities are felt here. And the question now is, those industries are going to clean up and profit. And the question is, are the businesses in your region going to just transition to low carbon, or are they going to be global champions in a new economy? It's not a low carbon economy, it's a new economy, it's a green economy. And so when I think about transition with our clients, yes, you have to decarbonize to be competitive globally. If you're exporting goods from a manufacturing standpoint, commodities, you need to think about your carbon footprint. You're not going to get away from that. And so step one, you need to know your emissions, baselining. You need to have a plan to go after the carbon. But the thing that companies are missing, and I really hope that as the transition framework evolves, we'll start to bring this lens into it, is green growth, which is companies need to be asking themselves, what are the sectors, products, services, adjacencies of the future that are going to see unparalleled growth, and how do we position companies in the region to be part of that? And so the example would be, if you have an oil and gas economy, how do you think about renewable fuels? If you have an agriculture economy, how do you think about regen and climate tech companies that will work in the regen ecosystem? If you have a manufacturing economy, how do you think about what will there be demand for in the future? EVs, other drivers of demand that we can position ourselves for. So when I think about I'll stop here. When you think about transition, don't just think about taking out carbon. That's too narrow a definition, and you're going to be left behind. You got to think about competitiveness and green growth.
Thank you. And on that note, I mean, that gives a really great perspective. Let's ask the business, right? Let's ask the business. And Datuk Megat Jalaluddin, COO of Tenaga Nasional Berhad, you know, so he's having a lot of stake in this. So Datuk Megat, how is ASEAN, a region with a relatively young coal-fired power plants, and I understand there's 1,200 power plants within this region, how do we expect to navigate the energy trilemma without tearing the socio-economic fabric of society? And how does coal still play a role in our net zero future?
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and very good afternoon. First and foremost, thank you very much for having Tenaga Nasional in this discussion. Very pertinent point as a business that probably known to be one of the biggest contributor to the carbon emission. And looking from the ASEAN region and looking at what we have today, I think there are a number of clear strategies that the countries in ASEAN can take forward with respect to making the transition with respect to getting the low carbon economy. But at the same time, as pointed out by colleague just now, Neville from BCG, how do you find actually the growth that will support the industry as well as the country? I think first and foremost, a strategy that is based on a clear pathway moving forward. How do we phase out carbon, coal generation from the industry itself? I think having a clear pathway will provide a good basis to move forward to ensure that we have a smooth transition that will not disrupt the economy, at the same time provide the replacement of the growth that that we require. So some of the strategies with respect to how do we decarbonize the coal power plant, it could be a simple pathway linking into the retirement, the natural retirement of the coal plant, which even though it is young, but there will be a kind of asset life that we will basically encounter into. So a natural attrition strategy is one of the way forward. And second, of course, we are looking whether we can accelerate the retirement of this coal plant. I think this is where the financing and also the funding and the whole economics must work, not only for the company but for the whole industry, taking into account that we have to ensure the security of supply for each of the country.
Well, I guess that resonates to what Vinay was saying, but moving on, this is where it gets fun for me. I get to question my shareholder and investor here. So, Encik Muazzam Muhammad, Head of Investment Stewardship of PNB, by now very, very well-known figure in sustainability and sustainable investments, at least in Malaysia. Encik Muazzam, what are the steps GLICs and GLCs should be taking in order to facilitate credible transaction finance activities, given that so many of the GLICs and GLCs are involved with the hard-to-abate sectors? And how best can financial institutions facilitate this process?
Yep. Assalamualaikum and good morning. First of all, thank you so much to Maybank and organizers for inviting Permodalan Nasional Berhad. No pressure to sit on the same stage as two of our important portfolio companies. So within the context of transitioning to net zero, as we put our climate ambition into action and taking a whole of nation approach, you can see that there are various actors that are involved, right? So we have regulators, policymakers that set the stage on disclosure, transparency and requirements. Corporates must decarbonize. Institutional investors like us must develop expectations. Lenders such as yourselves should create something like the TFF, which was just launched. So in terms of the steps, as I zoom first on taking some examples from what we do as an asset manager, I think it's important to set expectations for our portfolio companies. So we, as a shareholder, we encourage our portfolio companies to decarbonize and to look into climate change, biodiversity and labour as well. And it is important that we set the message right, not just in terms of the messaging, but also in terms of our voting policies and all, so that companies can together transition and Maybank, as one of the lenders, can galvanize all of these efforts together so that companies can decarbonize. As we look into what other corporates or GLCs can do, it's really down to the basics. Understand where your emissions are, develop a strategy to decarbonize, set a credible net zero target. And last but not least, I think the third step, which is quite important, is to invest to decarbonize. So companies must create a strategy on achieving net zero, allocate capital, and I think capital can come from many sources, you know, like from shareholders, lenders such as yourself, blended finance and whatnot. So I think these are the three key steps. I think zooming in into how financial institutions can play a part, you are really at the center of it, galvanizing all of the efforts together. Number one, I think to build that capacity and capacity building between your clients to push, to tell them that it's important to decarbonize, like what Vinay has mentioned, it's beyond decarbonizing. It's also seizing the opportunities to understand that climate risk is also a business risk, and for us, it's investment risk. So seeing that linkage, we really set the stage for companies to not just follow what's required under the policies, but also to change their business model. And what better way to fund that through something like a transition financing framework?
Thank you, Jim Azam. Three different personalities from three different backgrounds, but that gives us a lot better context in terms of what we're doing and in terms of the approach to transition finance. I'm worried that we already only have 15 minutes. So I'll just one last question that each of the panelists can probably spend about 1 minute. There's two questions here. You can be linked or you can take either one. What are we missing? What are we not doing? And in this climate transition landscape, what do we have as an advantage in the ASEAN region? I'll start with Datuk Megat first.
Yeah, I think for the ASEAN region, there are a number of advantages for us. I think first, we have the abundance of the resources. I think this is where the opportunity for the country and for the company. We are talking about reducing the coal, which is actually a strategic outcome. There is another strategy that for growth. I think this is where ASEAN can leverage on, because each country has a different resources coming from hydro, solar, wind, as well as geothermal. So this is, I think, a key element. And if we go further, this is where the ASEAN collaboration can take place through the so-called the ASEAN Power Grid, where we actually share resources of our RE among the ASEAN countries. I think this also provides a good momentum, a new business that can be created among the ASEAN countries.
Thank you, Dr. Megat. Vinay, with your global view and your global experience, what can we do more in ASEAN? Yeah. Where can we win?
For sure. Look, I think what, I don't know if you're missing it, because I haven't read the framework because you just published it, but I will read it, is Malaysia going to import the solutions, or are you going to build the solutions? And no country right now has a monopoly on the solutions for decarbonizing the planet. And I think your advantage in this region is your people. So I've had the privilege of doing business in KL and the region more broadly. And when I look at the young people and the hunger, the energy, the talent, the determination, and not just at BCG, it's not just a plug for our, we have great people, but the region more broadly, I worry for the kids in the developed world, because I think that hunger and determination and entrepreneurial spirit. And so what are we doing as policymakers, as investors, as a bank, to enable an ecosystem to build the solutions that the incumbents will need in spades to decarbonize?
Thank you, Vinay. And a final word to the man with the money, Cik Azam.
Yeah, ASEAN is a very important hub globally, right? I mean, population is expected to reach 770 million by 2040. It's going to be the fourth largest bloc in terms of economic size by 2030. So I think it's important that to note that we have a big role to play as we transition to net zero. And I think 50% of the carbon leading up to 1.5 is actually centered in ASEAN. And Dato' Megat mentioned that in the region, a lot of the coal-fired power plants are relatively younger compared to the West. So I think we have a big role to play, and I think we need to focus on the needle-moving initiatives. I think number one is actually to decarbonize the grid as well. And I think that provides the essential platform for everybody to decarbonize. And then I think overall, there's great promise. I think a lot of the opportunities will come from ASEAN, given that how much opportunities are there to invest in decarbonization as companies embrace this net zero transition.
Thank you, Mazam. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been my privilege and pleasure. Let's all give a big hand to Datuk Megat, Mazam and Vinay. Thank you very much.